All right, great to have you on with us on this Monday, the holiday. If you're working, sit back, and if you got a radio, internet, wherever you are, enjoy listening to the show. It's a pleasure to bring in Jesse Agler. He is the play-by-play radio voice of the San Diego Padres. I've known him a long time. Jesse, welcome to the show. Happy 4th of July weekend. How you doing?
Marty, doing great. Thanks for having me, and great to speak to you.
No, we're glad to have you on. I thought it'd be a good idea. We haven't talked Padre baseball for a while. And Padres 6 back in the loss column, 4.5 back of the Giants, and here we are. It's July 5th, and I don't think the Giants are going away, and neither are the Padres. So to start with you, what's the state of the Padres these days?
Pretty good. You know, they're getting healthy, I think, you know, really finally for the first time this year. For the most part, they got a couple of relievers back on the last road trip who had been on the IL, including Drew Pomeranz, who's turned into a very reliable eighth inning guy who can close if needed. But, you know, I mean, they still have only rolled out their projected 1-8 guys in 2 games this year, you know, twice in the first week of May. That's the only time all season they've been able to really put the field or the team that they expected to have on the field on the field. So, you know, I think there's still probably an element of like, all right, you know, once we get everybody healthy and good to go, you know, maybe we can have, you know, a crazy run, 15 out of 18, something like that. And at some point you figure the Dodgers aren't always going to be winning 10 in a row and the Giants aren't always going to be winning 9 out of 10. But, you know, I mean, that's just kind of the state of the division right now. Everybody is really, really strong. And, you know, I don't think anybody down here would be surprised if they were very, very active come deadline time later this month also.
Well, that's a good point. Now, Melanson has been terrific. He's got more saves than anybody in baseball. But as I watch the box scores here and listen to you guys on the radio, last few, a little dicier for him. Help needed maybe in the bullpen? It seems like they're in the bullpen every game.
Yeah, and that to me would actually go the other way. I mean, if it's my call, I'm adding starting pitching, and I think that would make the bullpen better, you know, because you wouldn't have to lean on them as hard as they have. But look, yeah, I mean, relievers are quote unquote easy to come up with on the trade deadline time. You know, and I think any good team would be improved by adding, you know, a back end arm. So it's something they'll absolutely consider. And you're right, you know, Melanson hasn't quite been as unhittable the last couple of times, as he was maybe earlier this year. That could just be a hiccup. That could be one of those things that happened. It could be, you know, something to be concerned about. I don't really know at this point. I don't think there's enough struggles to really, you know, classify it as one thing or the other. But yeah, they'll look to add, you know, bullpen help. I do really think though, if you can get another starting pitcher, you know, someone who can consistently and reliably give you 5 or 6 innings. You know, I'm not even saying 7 or 8. I'm saying 5 or 6. I think that will go a long way to helping the rest of the pitching staff.
All right. Well, you look at Blake Snell. I mean, he did come back yesterday. He was, I guess they brought him back. They sneaked him through the COVID list so they could bring him back before the 10 days are up. But 4 innings yesterday, a couple of hits. How did Blake Snell look yesterday?
It was, you know, fairly similar to what we've seen a lot this year. I mean, the fact that he didn't give up any runs was very encouraging because the road ERA is pretty big for him this season. So that's something to build on. But, you know, he grinded it out, and that's sort of been his thing this year. You know, it's a lot of pitches. It's a lot of 3-ball counts. It's a lot of walks. I think he walked 4 yesterday, and he hit a batter in 4 innings. And that's going to make it really tough for him, obviously, to work deep into games. You know, I mean, the home road stuff is always, to me, something that, you know, it gets poo-pooed a little bit. It feels a little bit random, you know, particularly halfway through the season. But it's getting to the point now with Blake where the numbers are so disparate at Petco Park as compared to on the road that it is something fair to talk about. I don't have any understanding as to why it's happening. Or if there's any solution to it. But he's just so much more comfortable looking, I guess, at Petco, and the results have been there. So, you know, at some point, obviously, he's going to have to be able to do something closer to what he's done at home on the road this season, and maybe yesterday was a step towards that.
Well, you need a rotation, let's face it. And what was so impressive when the season opened up was the Padre rotation. Now, Lameta's hurt. What is the rotation right now? Because Darvish got beat by the Phillies the other night. I know it was a rain got in the middle of that, but he did lose the game.
Yeah, Darvish was fine. I mean, it was the offense that disappeared after the first inning that was the issue that day, not Darvish. He's been great. He's an all-star, deserving, and he's a legitimate ace. You know, I mean, we haven't had a real ace around here probably since Jake Peavy, quite frankly, in his Padre days, and you've had maybe sort of top-of-the-rotation type guys, but Darvish, I think, truly fits the definition of an ace, and he's been that for the Padres this year. So, you know, in no particular order afterwards, you know, there's Snell. And like we said, he's had road troubles. He's had trouble working deeper into games. Joe Musgrove has really kind of been a horse for them and a very reliable guy. Chris Paddock has continued to look better and better and better. And then, as you said, with Lamet hurt, you know, I think they're going to lean on Ryan Weathers a little bit here. When he pitches, he's looked really, really good basically every single time out there. But, you know, he's a young guy with not a lot of miles on his arm. And I think they probably wouldn't be all that comfortable with him throwing more than 100-something innings this year. And I'm talking low hundreds. So, you know, they're going to have to, you know, at some point kind of manage that, monitor that, you know, maybe piggyback him with somebody else. Perhaps, you know, when Lamet is good to go again, and it sounds like it's not going to be too long, they could go into a situation where they use those guys on the same day so that they're not asking too much of either one of them. I don't know that that's their preference necessarily, but it would probably be a possibility at this point. And then, as I said, you know, I mean, in the trade market, I'd be stunned if they didn't try to add a starting pitcher.
Well, you've made a very compelling argument, Jesse. Very good. You made a very compelling argument. Believe me, I agree with you. After listening to that, they need a starting pitcher. Well, you got the most exciting player in the league in Tatis. He's getting better. He's got 26 home runs. He's walking now, believe it or not. He's got some plate discipline. And Tommy Pham all of a sudden got really hot. And Machado hit a couple of home runs yesterday. Offensively, it looks like the Padres are still fine.
Yeah, it's not – there's no great concern anywhere. You know, there are a couple of guys who could be better, but I think they expect them to be better. And I think specifically Will Myers and Eric Hosmer, so one in right field, one at first base. You know, they're not really producing right now. But the good thing is that, you know, the Padres are kind of built in a way to be able to survive that, for small bursts at least. You mentioned Pham. He wasn't hitting at all until about a month ago, and he's been one of the best hitters in the National League in the last month. And they were able to hide him. They were able to, you know, keep winning 7 or 8 out of 10 games most of the time, even with those struggles, because of the depth that they have and the star power in the middle of the lineup. And as for Manny, I don't think, you know, we've really seen the best of him yet this year. He's heated up, too, in the last few weeks. But, you know, it's not necessarily that white-hot, you know, thing that we see out of him where he goes nuts for 4 or 6 weeks. So that's probably coming at some point. It has every other year, basically, that he's been healthy in the big league. So, I think it would be more, you know, champagne than water in terms of necessity to add a position player. But again, you know, with the way AJ Preller likes to operate, I don't think I'd be surprised by anything.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Oh, you made a good argument for the Padres to keep your eye on them for the next few weeks. And boy, September baseball, Giants, Dodgers, Padres, it's going to be something. Let me bring in Bill Lasky. Bill, good morning. And Jesse, I think, made a very compelling argument for starting pitching. How's the soup bone this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, Jesse, of course, you guys talk about Machado and Tatis, two outstanding players. But I got to talk about another all-star that's kind of been the unsung hero, and that's Jake Cronenworth. Leading a team with 88 hits. He was an all-star this year, of course, rookie of the year last year. You know, this guy's been kind of the guy that nobody's really talking about, but he's sure having a hell of a first half.
He's a wonderful baseball player, and he's one of those guys, too, that I think, you know, we get the opportunity, obviously, to watch every game, and you get a much, much greater appreciation for him. Even though the stat line is great, as you said, he's leading the team in hits. You know, he's up there, you know, in a lot of offensive categories in the National League. But watching him every day, you get a real good sense of just how special of a player he is. I'll tell you this, too. He's playing Gold Glove defense. And, you know, we were a little worried, I think, that he could get squeezed out of the All-Star game, you know, just because of the nature of the beast and, well, the Albies. And, you know, you start looking around at the Dodgers and, okay, you know, are they going to need another guy and all that kind of thing. But I think maybe the defense was the thing that separated him from a couple of the other worthy second basemen and got him into the game. So, you know, it's really one of those things where I think everybody in the organization is just so thrilled for Cronenworth because, again, you know, kind of day in and day out, we've been able to see what it is that he brings on both sides of the ball. And I tell you what, too, it's a great example, his story of, you know, sometimes things have to kind of fall into place because at the beginning of the season last year, he was on the bench and, you know, Profar was going to be the everyday second baseman and the Padres, you weren't really sure what they had in Cronenworth when they acquired him from Tampa Bay. He was kind of a two-way guy in AAA. Okay, maybe he's going to pitch a little bit, but very early on in the season last year, in the COVID season, Eric Hosmer had what was at the time kind of a mysterious stomach issue. Very early on. And so Hosmer ended up, you know, missing a couple of weeks. Cronenworth started most every day at first base, not at second, but at first base during that time. And he was a revelation. He was playing just absolutely sparkling defense at first, which was a position he was fairly inexperienced in. And he was hitting the heck out of the ball. And, you know, basically when Hosmer came back, the Padres thought, well, we can't take this guy out of the lineup. that's when they moved him basically, you know, into a permanent place at second base, and he hasn't let go of it since.
Boy, you know, I'm just looking at September when you and Bill are talking, and there's 10 games between the Giants and Padres in September, starting on September 13th. And there's three with Atlanta. I'm talking about the Giants schedule. Three with Atlanta. Then you got to, they have to go to Colorado for three. And can't we play more with Arizona? Is that it? Just three? Can't we get about 29 with Arizona? But boy, this Jesse, this is going to be some 10 games, Padres Giants in September. How about that?
Yeah, I mean that's I think where a lot's going to be decided. And I think the Padres have two more series in LA late in the year. One maybe late August. And then the other one at the very end of the season. And I think the Padres, off the top of my head, I'm not looking at the schedule, but I think they wrap up the regular season with a trip that goes L.A., San Francisco. So, I mean, we could very easily go into the last couple of days of the season with nothing decided in this division. And all those head-to-head matchups, they're going to be an awful lot of fun.
Hey, Jesse, July's coming. We start hearing trade rumors, and every time I hear a trade rumor with the Padres, Joey Gallo's name's in it from the Texas Rangers. If the Padres traded for him, who in the hell are they going to move out of that outfield? Because that outfield's pretty strong.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and I don't know that it would have to be anybody permanently. You know, maybe they would get into a situation where, you know, Will Myers would just get a little bit of a reduction in playing time, or maybe he'd move to left sometime. And you'd be a little bit more specific about who you started, maybe Myers or Pham against. I have a hard time imagining them taking Grisham out of the everyday lineup, especially because he provides gold glove defense in center. But, yeah, I think it would allow them to get maybe a little bit more creative in terms of the corners. And I know Pham and Myers are both right-handed hitters, but, you know, you could maybe just say, well, he's more suited to face today's starting pitcher than the other guy. Or if somebody gets hot, you stick with him a little bit longer and you leave Gallo out in right field. That would be my guess because you're right. We've heard that name nonstop, really going back to last year with the Padres. Myers had a phenomenal 2020. And if this was, you know, kind of what was happening last year was happening this year at the bat for him, you probably wouldn't be able to move him out. But I think this year the numbers have come back down a little bit and they would find a way to massage that and make it work if they needed to.
Boy, the Padres 30-15 at home, 20-21 on the road. You got the Nationals. Yeah. Is it John Lester? I think it's supposed to be Lester against Musgrove tonight. Then, of course, we got the Nationals here on the weekend. But the crowds at home. Just watching some of those games on TV. I mean, it's just fat. It's like the old Candlestick crowds. So those people are going nuts down in San Diego, and it probably helps that home record.
Yeah, I mean, this is my eighth season here, and obviously they haven't been the greatest, you know, first six, I guess, and then last year, no fans. But I've never seen the place anything like this. You know, I mean, the last homestand, so a couple of weeks ago, they had a four-game series against the Reds. That was the first time the ballpark was opened up to 100% capacity. They had a walk-off home run in the first game. And, like, I'm not exaggerating when I imagine that you could hear Petco Park, you know, 5-10 miles away. I mean, it was that loud. It was that just unbelievable when Victor Caratini hit a walk-off home run off of Amir Garrett to win that game. And it hasn't really stopped ever since. And even earlier in the year when they were having 15,000 people in the building, it sounded like 30. And so now that they're able to have 30 and 40 in there, it sounds like 50 or 60. And look, this is a great baseball town. It's a great sports town. They just haven't had great teams to support. So it's kind of like, you know, you've woken the sleeping beast or something like that with this fan base. And you know, it's really, you know, for only the handful of times in the history of the Padres that the crowd has been able to get behind them legitimately, they've done a phenomenal job of that. I mean, the stories of 1998 and 1984 are legendary here in terms of, you know, fans meeting the team at the airport and the loudness of the old football stadium for the NLCS against the Braves. And in 98, I mean, they know what they're doing when they're being given a reason to do it. And obviously this Padre team gives them plenty of reason.
Wow, what a great story. Go ahead, Bill. Please do.
Jesse, Drew Pomeranz, a big miss in that bullpen, especially now he's on the IL. Is he expected back early after the All-Star game? Tell us a little about Jesse, about Drew's injury.
Yeah, he actually came back on this last road trip just a couple of days ago. So that's a big one, certainly. And he's a guy that, you know, plays a really critical role for them. He's, you know, Mr. Reliable in the eighth. He can close if Melanson is down. And they're more than confident to have him do that. You know, when healthy, they love their 7-8-9. You know, it's Emilio Pagan and Pomeranz and Melanson. And, you know, again, those guys can get kind of shuffled around based upon circumstance. You know, the only issues that they've really had in the bullpen this year are when, you know, they've asked too much of those guys. And unfortunately, in the first, I don't know, let's call it 6-7 weeks of the season, they were doing that with regularity. You know, it seemed like 2-3-4 times a week you'd have a starting pitcher knock it out of the fourth inning. And, you know, that's going to add up very, very quickly. They've tried to be as disciplined as possible in terms of giving guys days off, even certain guys not working back-to-back. I think as the season progresses, they'll get a little bit more aggressive with that and allowing guys to work more frequently, as I think most teams are coming off the short season. But, yeah, I mean, they're very happy with the bullpen, and they've got, as long as they're healthy, some really good options back there.
Boy, great summer baseball. Great summer baseball. Jesse, thanks so much for being on with us, and we will absolutely catch up with you. Say hello to Tony Jr., and, of course, Dave Marcus, take it easy on him. He needs a few of those donuts, so don't make him run around too much.
Thanks, Jesse.
My pleasure, guys. Great to speak with you.
All right, Jess. Thanks so much. Boy, a great broadcast crew. I love listening to him. Tony Gwynn Jr. and, of course, Dave Marcus, their producer I've known for years, going back to the Jerry Coleman days. All right, Bill and I will come back. We'll talk about this matchup today, Gausman and Kim. Boy, I look at the numbers, and I just can't believe what I'm looking at. But they're there. So we'll take a break. Bill and I will come back and talk a little of this matchup right after this on the Sports Leader.